Hey guys, big thanks to HelloFresh for supporting Current Geek. Receive $35 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code CURRENTGEEK35. Remember, go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code CURRENTGEEK35 and get your $35 off your first week of deliveries. Thanks, HelloFresh.
I have
Current Geek!
Current Geek!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Current Geek. This is the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All-Stars. Geeks of the world and you to keep you current on all things that matter most. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm here with Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom.
You may have noticed the gavel was a little quieter.
Yeah.
Than you. It's starting to scare my dog.
No, see, we can't have that.
So I kind of held back.
How about you want to get like a, we get put like a big felt, like a microphone cover thing on the end of your gavel?
I could use your Diablo coasters.
Oh, look at that. That's not so bad.
Yeah,
it doesn't have quite the same bite or the courtroom drama quality of your regular gaveling, but
order.
We're thrilled to be back. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And Tom, hope you had a nice time in the Magical Kingdom last weekend.
I did. Thank you. It was lovely. I got to race cars that had eyes and ate a corn dog.
Was it? Wow. So wait, this was your first Disneyland trip, despite the fact that you've been in California for a good portion of
your life. My second Disneyland. I went to Disneyland a month ago for the first time in 46 years.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, went to California Adventure.
Wow. Well, all right then. You are now one of us. Also joining us, a brand new guest. I'm so excited to have her on here. Her name is Dawn Alden. She's an actor, producer, stunt fighter, and coordinator. This means she'd kick my butt right now if she wanted to. Working on some really cool new projects. We'll talk about those a little bit later. But Dawn, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So good to have you. You're in LA, right?
I'm in La La Land.
Ah, yes.
We have a number you now, Scott Moore.
Great. All three of you. Speaking of the other of the third person I just mentioned, a returning guest to the show, the one, the only, the lovely Jenny Josephson, producer at Marketplace, producer of Make Me Smart, a great new podcast with Kai Rizdahl and Molly Wood. And I knew it was your brainchild the second I heard it. And I didn't know how I knew it, but I just freaking knew it. And it was awesome. So well done on that. Jenny, welcome back to the show.
I learned it from watching Tom and also you.
Okay, good. You don't have to throw that in at the end. It's fine. Tom truly is our exemplar in all things. That's how
he is our internet father.
Yes.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know, but it's good to have you back. It feels like we haven't done it in a while. So we kept your chair warm. Everything's good.
I'm ready.
All right. Well, good. Well, I'm ready too. So why don't we dive in with these here headlines.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Tom, what happened?
It's rare that we have breaking news for Current Geek, because we're just kind of sitting back and talking about some interesting stuff. But I figured it was worth putting in there that today Game of Thrones announced it will premiere on July 16th. In fact, there was a whole thing where they had a Facebook live stream and you had to type the word fire to get the ice to melt. And then it failed twice to reveal the actual date. They had to do it three times. Third time was charm though. July 16th, we get 7 new episodes of Game of Thrones.
So a tale of ice and not very great fire is what you're talking about. Yeah. Then.
A lot of people typing fire and then ice failing.
Wow. I can't believe we're getting a date. That's also the day before my birthday. So that'll be fun. I can celebrate in the two ways, I suppose. And
happy
so this
birthday.
Begins, if I'm not incorrect, this begins the final two half seasons, effectively, aren't they? Kind of halvesies.
Yeah, if you call them half seasons, they're shortened by, but then they're talking about doing more in the second of these. So yeah, it's more than you would normally get in a one season where they only give us 10, but it's less than you normally get 10. So yeah,
mm-hmm. I don't know. And so, but technically this is seventh season, if you want to call it a full season. That's crazy. 7 years of Game of Thrones. Dawn, are you excited for the grand return of HBO's big moneymaker?
How could I not be?
Well, there's a lot of good stunts in there, I've noticed.
Spoken like a Lannister.
Yes, I see. I mean, I'm beyond excited just because I need some closure. I feel like we're going to get all new stuff. We're caught up with the books, at least. I think we're not going to have any books before then, right? No, there's no, we don't get that new book before the 16th of July or before anytime soon.
I wouldn't count on it. No, so, I mean anything's possible, but
sure. So
Scott, please.
Yeah. How about you, Jenny? I know you'd like that show. You're excited, yeah?
Yeah. Let me just put it this way: There better be dragons. Mm. There better be a wall coming down. Mm. There better be some hot fire and ice action between our two remaining morally strong or compromised principles. And there better be less filler, which I actually think is why they're doing less episodes. Like, some of the stuff in those, like, one thing I noticed about last season was, like, how sometimes episodes ended in the middle of some new arc or slightly before you thought they should have ended. And mm-hmm. I think there was just, like, too many episodes for the stuff that they were prepared to tell us. So I think this is, while technically annoying, probably a good storytelling move.
Probably. I mean, it already feels like the right move for cable to move to 10 to 13 episode seasons of shows anyway, right? When that happened, we all went, oh, not 24 episodes like most network shows. And no, the cable said, we're going to do 10. Here's Mad Men. Welcome to 10 episodes. And we all said, oh, that's terrible. But then we found that having a shorter season meant a more focused storytelling, a better arc week to week, easier to connect the tissue and not have to have some really great X-Files episodes, but then a bunch of dumpy ones because you got to fill 24 slots, right? So now you're telling me that even less than 10 is going to be better than the 10. That there was too much filler.
They better
even
be the best
that.
Seven ever of all time, but yeah.
All right. No small expectation from one Jenny Josephson, everybody.
That's right.
Watch and see what happens on July 16th.
I just hope Daenerys walks up and says, Mr. Night King, tear down this wall.
But make sure you use dragons to do it. And there will be dragons that do it, right? If that wall comes down, good. They're going to melt it. There's no other way to get it down. So I already predict the end of the thing. Those dragons are going to fly over that thing. They're going to melt big giant holes through it. And come pouring through there will be all sorts of trouble. So watch out.
Disney showed some clips from The Last Jedi, that's the name of the next Star Wars movie, to investors on Wednesday. The biggest deal in the clips being that Luke Skywalker says his first spoken line since Return of the Jedi to Rey, saying, who are you?
I don't know if he said it that way. Oh, I was hoping it was, because we all heard it was three words and I haven't heard it yet. I was waiting for the show, to be honest, and I was always hoping it was sweep the leg. Who are you? Yeah, I really wanted sweep the leg to be the three words that we heard out of Luke, but it didn't happen.
Nope.
I guess.
No. Nope.
All right. So who are you? That makes sense, right? He doesn't know.
Tom, would you like to go first?
You go
as
ahead.
The senior, no, Jenny, let's talk please. About Star Wars host.
Jenny and I co-host Let's Talk About Star Wars with Gareth Weinzierl. So we'll be talking a lot about this, I'm sure. But I know you have thoughts.
Give it.
I have thoughts. Three words. First of all, three words that could not be more explosive. Like, if you were going to pick three words to start your movie, who are you is pretty amazing. Because without getting too far down the rabbit hole, some of us thought Luke was Rey's kid or reversed. We thought they're related. But if someone says, who are you? Don't you kind of think maybe they're not?
Well, what if it's been a while, though? What if it's been 25 years?
I'm sorry,
got
Scott.
Left
if you
as
didn't
a
see
little
one of your
girl,
then say we're three, you would still know who they were. You would just know.
Okay. I'm trying to think how.
Anyway.
I'm trying to think of a scenario where. Okay. Let me just throw you a crooked idea here. I don't necessarily believe this, but what if we are now dealing with a very insane final Jedi? His power is so strong. He's kind of lost it. He's a little bit bonkers, a little paranoid. He's living out there and is just not, he doesn't have all his wits about him. That's possible, right? So he's like,
but
who
he
are
tweets
you?
A lot.
But he tweets a lot. I feel like you just described Twitter in a nutshell, actually. Well done. Yeah. But what if it's that? What if it's just like, oh, he needs to be shaken out of his stupor and then he'll realize, Rey, it's you? Oh, no. And then, you know, and then we're all back on board, right?
Maybe. Yeah. You are my daughter? John, are you a Star Wars fan?
I am indeed.
Yeah, do you got any theories about this whole thing? I mean, if those are the first three words, does that change what you think about the relationship between Luke and Rey?
It sure does, because, yeah, I mean, I was listening to the predominant rumors were that Rey was Luke's daughter. Mm. Because what with the families and the force running in the families, whole thing. Mm-hmm. I like your idea, Scott. I kind of like your idea that he's become so force addled, mm-hmm. and you know, that he retreated from civilization to save everyone else, And Ray is going to be here to pull him back into the fold. See, that's kind of an interesting
idea. It is.
There have been recent movies where powerful mental processes start to go awry in aging, superpowered people.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Well played.
That has happened. Maybe that's why it's on my mind, because I just saw Logan and loved it. But I wonder if... no spoilers there, I don't think, with me saying that, I don't think.
Well, it wasn't.
It wasn't until you said it, said Tom, only slightly judgmentally.
Yeah, that's a good point. I should have known better. But I'll say that if that's the road they go, it is a nice nod to Obi-Wan, you know, sort of holed up in a desert cave somewhere in the middle of Tatooine. And at the time, if you remember, even Luke and, you know, they'd all heard about this old Ben guy. That he was this crazy old coot who lived up in the hills. It's very possible this isolation is the same sort of thing for Luke. So who knows? I don't know.
Luke Speaking Skywalker. Speaking of crazy. You mean old kook Skywalker?
Yeah, old kook Skywalker.
Obi Luke Kenobi? Just two very quick things in the Star Wars, and I won't go into these a great deal, but in 2 weeks, Star Wars Rebels, if you're not watching it, it's going to be a very seminal episode involving Obi-Wan Kenobi. And if you're not caught up, or if you're almost caught up, catch up, guys, ladies, fellas, people. It's going to be amazing. And then also the next Marvel comics are going to basically be Anakin Skywalker 3 seconds after Revenge of the Sith. So that's pretty cool.
Wow. All right. I'm in.
Wow.
That's good news, everybody. So stay tuned.
Turns out he was yelling, "No, the shoes don't fit."
Yeah.
We've all been there, Tom.
Hey, at Sue the T-Rex is a Twitter account for the T-Rex skeleton at the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago. March 3rd, Sue began running a Dungeons & Dragons game and reporting the results on Twitter. Of course, Sue plays a dino sorcerer, I think. She runs Twitter polls for advice on what to do next. So if you go into Twitter... look at her tweets and replies, and you'll be able to see what's going on with the game.
Weird. So who's, I mean, obviously someone's doing this, but I wonder who's doing it. Has anyone sussed out who the, is it somebody on staff at the place or something? Or Tom, are you just assuming it's the skeletal remains of the dinosaur that's doing it?
I mean, it says it's the skeletal remains of the dinosaur, Scott. I don't know. I have to come up with all these conspiracy theories, fake news.
Yeah, the world doesn't have to be all
dinosaur.
Yeah. It's not all fake news. Maybe this is one that we can just take it on its face and believe that it's this undead, ancient Jurassic period creature.
I mean, if at any point they were going to have dungeons or dragons, wouldn't it be in a dinosaur era? Come on.
Oh, interesting. They're as close to dragons as we'll probably ever get. So I'd read somewhere, and I don't remember when or where, and so I hope this still remains accurate, but there was some talk that there were ancient depictions, like drawings, art of dragons, or some of the earlier representations of what would become what we think of as dragons, were people who were inspired by big dinosaur fossils they would find. And they would think, ooh, these creatures must have, you know, been here with us at some point. So here's some dragons, which is a really cool idea, you know? But speaking of D&D and this whole, you know, idea of having this happen, I'm all about inanimate matter running Twitter accounts. I'm a big fan of it. There's that onion that's big popular right now. There's always something like there's always like a bag of cheese or a rock or something dumb like that.
Or a rover.
Yeah. Yeah. The rover's great. Now that's that's maybe the best one. The rover's the best one because you can assign all kinds of personality and
y'all really need to read the feed. It's hilarious. Whoever's doing this is doing really good.
Well, all right then. It's called Specimen FMNH.
PR2081. It's at Sue the T-Rex though.
Right. That's really good. I'm reading it now. All right. Go find that, you guys. And it's you'll not be sad. Sue the most, T-Rex.
As we're recording, the latest thing that happened was, oof, magic missile auto hits for 2, 2, and 4. You basically annoyed 3 kobolds.
That's pretty great. Pretty great. Anyway, what else we got? We got more, don't we? We have more.
Researchers at Columbia University and the New York Genome Center successfully wrote data to DNA, including an Amazon gift card, the 1895 film The Arrival of a Train at La Ciotat Station, and the Colibri OS, which is the smallest operating system. It's an embedded operating system. Researchers fit the maximum amount of information on each nucleotide using fountain codes and a similar method to streaming video services for compression. A gram of DNA, a gram, mind you, can hold 215 petabytes of data. The problem is it breaks down as it's sequenced. So that limits the number of potential reads.
Oh, I see. So quick, it's going to die quicker than your spinning, your SSD drive or your old spinning drives. That's crazy. And I have this question. I think that's awesome, by the way. But is this just another case, Tom, of like, we did this because we can, or we had to find out if we could? It's one of the, because what's the practical application at this
point? Well, the practical application is we now have done it this much. Maybe we can figure out how to stop it from breaking down, at which point then we'll be able to store 215 petabytes of rereadable data. But science moves in steps, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like, well, all we can do is this one thing. Now it's time to, you know, just run off and play D&D with T-Rexes. This is one step along the road. So they're like, okay, we made this happen. Now what's next? That's what I'm excited.
Because in theory, since they put an Amazon card on here, so Don, you could get a gift at Christmas someday in the vast, amazing future where somebody sends you a gift card via quantum, I don't know, touch computing that is actually embedded in your DNA storage. And you just access that gram of 215 petabytes of data and find out, oh, my aunt, what's her name, sent me an Amazon gift card. How sweet of her. How do you feel about a future like that?
It'll never happen.
You don't think so, huh?
No. I don't know. You know, I mean, everything has good sides and bad sides. That's the thing about science is optimists like us imagine all of the amazing, fabulous, wonderful things that we can do with all these scientific advancements. And then the world finds ways to turn it all evil. Mm. So,
Jenny, do you want to have
things like this? Always,
well, maybe
they excite me and scare me in equal measure.
Sure. Maybe there's a way to, I don't know. Maybe what we're talking about here isn't so much the science fiction scenario that we are storing data or transferring data or our minds are now linked via this sort of thing or something. But maybe the story is we come up with a new artificial drive, a synthetic drive that mimics what a DNA sequence is or can mimic biology.
I think the fact that it's DNA is what everybody's hung up on, right? You're like, oh, so it must be alive. If you just get rid of DNA and say, this is a gram of material that can hold 215 petabytes of data.
Right.
Is that something you might
Right.
Now that so, I mean,
first of all,
I would buy for a dollar.
For a dollar.
First of all, I always knew movies were in my DNA.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be an optimist and say that one little strand of my DNA can hold my entire movie library sometime in the not too far future. But what I really think is going to happen is they're going to embed the record of all my credit card debt in my body.
Yeah.
And I will not be able to leave some pre-assigned area. And then also we're going to come up with like human thumb drives, like literal thumbs on humans storing data. And you'll have to like all the jobs will go to robots. So our only job will be to be like raid, like giant G raid drives.
Yeah.
It sounds awful,
but it's also kind of cool. Like I like the idea of better storage capacity. I remember when like the first gigabyte drive came out and I thought, oh my gosh, we have reached new heights. We will never do better than this. And now we have much smaller, much larger versions of that. And they're solid state now. And there's, access is crazy. And I remember them talking about crystals as being a form of storage. I don't remember how that all turned out. But when they explore this new stuff, it does mean we are going to get some innovation somewhere. Like we'll end up with, if they can successfully fiddle around with this, they could make a synthetic drive that is vastly better than what we're doing now. And
I want to store 215 petabytes in my thumb.
Yes.
I'm still caught on that.
Yeah, I'm caught on that too.
Like my thumb drive.
Yep. And that same thumb, Tom, is used to like unlock a device that would then read your thumb and all of its data immediately.
Something I have, something I know.
Don't burn your thumb on anything though. Don't burn it.
How about this advance? A team at University of Texas at Austin's Cockrell School of Engineering, led by 94-year-old John Goodenow, co-inventor of the lithium ion battery, mind you, has released findings in the journal Energy and Environmental Science claiming to solve some of the life cycle and cost issues with solid state batteries. Solid state has the potential for safer, higher density energy storage than lithium ion. So he's trumping himself here. In the paper, Goodenow and senior researcher fellow Maria Helena Braga described producing batteries using glass electrolytes that allow sodium to substitute for lithium. They were able to create three times the energy density, demonstrate more than 1,200 cycles, and operate between negative 20 and negative 60 degrees Celsius. So they that's very cold and very hot. And this is something practical. This is something they think they can turn into a product. It's just a matter of figuring out how to scale it up.
So what's the net effect is we get better batteries.
The net effect is Samsung needed this last year.
Yeah, they did. Good point. They could have really used this technology. I mean, I don't know. You talk on the Daily Tech News Show a lot. Well, not a lot, but it comes up once in a while about how battery technology has kind of stagnated for a while. Like things just haven't exploded
and
there. Yeah,
this isn't going to be the big leap forward, but it's safer, which is a huge thing, and it's higher density. And one of the reasons we've been flirting with the line of safety with lithium ion is because we keep trying to put higher density into them.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for this. Again, it's like the hard drives. I'm all for getting better at this crap. And if it's quite the legacy, this guy in particular.
That's the other part of this story is how awesome is it that the guy who invented or co-invented lithium ion batteries is figuring out their replacement at 94 years old?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, he's on a team, but still, that's awesome.
Sure. Maybe he's just trying to make a battery that'll make it so he'll never die. Maybe that's what's happening.
You think he runs on a lithium ion battery?
I don't know.
Grandpa. Also, he's got storage of data in his DNA.
Why is Grandpa always looking for a free outlet? Oh, don't worry, son. It's fine.
Why does he back away whenever I show him my Note 7?
No. Nice. Boom. Zing. Nailed it. Anyway, that's exciting.
We all want better batteries, so I feel like this is good news. See, nobody's afraid of this one.
No, nobody's. I don't hear Don expressing future evil plan stuff with these batteries. This is exciting, yeah.
It's very exciting. Although you know, I always can find a dark side to everything. So,
Oh please,
my question.
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
My question is, you know, the thing about batteries is what they do to the environment when we're done with them.
Oh yeah.
So is this higher density going to be more of a problem to degrade in the long run?
It's sodium, so we just dissolve it, right?
There you go.
Yeah, we could all...
Is it that simple? Is it just that simple?
I hope so.
Yeah, I wish it were.
I hope it's things like that that help. Like you always want more natural occurring kinds of material in the world when we're done with it. Yeah. It seems like that's hard to do these days. So if sodium... in this form is not going to kill a bunch of people or ruin the environment.
This is sodium, not NaCl. We're not talking about table salt. This is something you have to be careful with.
This is like the raw freaking periodic table sodium stuff.
Yeah.
Which means cut some of that out of your diet and you'll be, oh wait, I've done it again. I've compared it to table salt. Look at me, Tom. I've done it again.
Yeah. Cut down on the battery. Well, maybe that's the secret of John Goodenow's 94 years.
There you go. Well done.
He saved all the sodium for his batteries. Yep. Finally, Entertainment Weekly has a breakdown of the plot of Thor Ragnarok. Thor will apparently meet the Grandmaster, played by Jeff Goldblum. By the way, pictures of Jeff Goldblum as the Grandmaster that were released to this story are already memes. And participating in the memes is Sue the T-Rex, if you go back in her timeline. Anyway, tied it all together. Jeff Goldblum plays the Grandmaster ruling the planet Sakaar, and the Hulk apparently happens to be the planet's current favorite gladiator. So we get a little Planet Hulk there too.
Yep. Little buddy cop movie going on there with Thor and Hulk, I hope. So Jenny, you're a big fan of the Marvel films, and I don't know where you stand on the Thor movies, but how does this all sound?
The Thor movies, it's not a popular opinion, but the Thor movies are among my favorite Marvel movies because they were the first Marvel movie to take it beyond superhero origin story on Earth and he gets a suit and everything's great. It opened up it was the first foray into the weird cosmic part of the Marvel universe. And I also coincidentally love every single famous Chris right now. And so to have a Hemsworth involved, like, I don't know if you guys seen like the little shorts that keep appearing of like Thor in his regular life right now that are just about the funniest things I've ever seen. I'm not more excited for this movie than Star Wars, The Last Jedi, but it is like by a razor hair.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to have a hard time moving past Logan and not thinking about it when I see superhero movies from now on. And I realize it's kind of black and white and not really comparable. And just like comics, you're going to have some with a real edge to them, and you're going to have some that are general audience, something a 9-year-old might go buy off a stand or something. And so I understand that will be true with the movies, and it should be. That's I like that. But it's going to be weird. Like
Cosmic Jeff Goldblum.
Okay, that's all I needed to hear.
It's the best thing ever.
Yep.
Yeah.
It really is the best thing ever. Don, how do you feel about Thor and the the Goldblooming of the Thor universe?
Well, you know, Goldblum makes everything better, so I'm pretty damn excited about it.
I agree. He even made I was not a fan of Independence Day, the first one. I haven't seen the second one. That was apparently really abysmal, but my opinion was that as much as I disliked that film, it was better because Jeff Goldblum was in it. So I'm totally with you there. Bring it on. Yep. Oh, somebody was saying that he was doing, somebody was posting that picture around as if it was an image from a live action adaptation of Rick and Morty. And I believed it for like 3 days.
You fell for it. Yeah,
I did. I didn't.
No, it just looked the part, don't it?
Yeah, it totally did. So I thought, I didn't know they were doing that. I can't believe they got Jeff Goldblum. I was all set for a Rick and Morty like one-off, and then I found out it was Thor, and I was a little bit disappointed, but it's fine. It's fine. I'll take what I can get.
I could.
It's the
blooming.
I'm just going to say it's the blooming of a golden age.
There you go.
You got to make room for Tom's puns. Jenny, what were you going to say? You were going to say something for you.
Sorry, talk now. I'm sorry, Jenny.
Oh, no. All I was going to say is, like, if you think of the aggregate of characters that we've already seen in just this article alone, Tessa Thompson as a Valkyrie, the Grandmaster Goldblum Flash, or whatever we're calling him. Kate Blanchett as like a super goth Cure fan, and Loki, and like I don't want to say too much more, but like, I can't wait for this movie.
Is Odin back in it? Do we have Sir?
It implied at the end of a certain movie that we just saw. Wait, what's our spoiler position on Current Geek?
We try to not have any, but what? Wait, okay. The one we just
saw. I'm just gonna stop. But kind of, yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna say yes. I'm gonna say he made a bunch of cowboy robots, and now he's back. That's what I'm gonna say.
Fair.
I'm gonna say that from 10 Speed and Brown Shoe till now, I am in awe of Jeff Goldblum.
Tom has never really left the Jeff Goldblum fan club. Hey guys, taking a minute here to talk about our friends at HelloFresh.com. I love HelloFresh.com because they are the meal delivery kit service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. And every week they're going to send you these delicious recipes, all the stuff you need to make it, step-by-step instructions all included. Each recipe is designed to take about 30 minutes to make in your own kitchen. That is crazy. Even I can do it. The recipes are set up so that anyone can make a delicious and nutritious home-cooked meal in 30 minutes or less. Oh, it's awesome. HelloFresh sources only the freshest ingredients, measured to the exact quantities needed, so there's never any food waste. Everything comes to you at your doorstep in a special insulated box. We've teamed up with HelloFresh so that they can offer you a great deal. Everybody in our audience can get $35 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code CURRENTGEEK35. I've really, really enjoyed the most recent meals I've had from HelloFresh, and I know that you will too. Tom and I love it. That's HelloFresh.com, and use the offer code CURRENTGEEK35 and get $35 off your first week of deliveries. Huge thanks to HelloFresh.
You can build a mansion, but you just can't live in it. You're the fastest runner, but you're not allowed to win. Some break the rules. Live to count the call.
All right. Well, hey, great stories today. Thank you all for your submissions. We get a bunch of these from actual submitters who send them to us directly. They're in our Reddit. Tom, who gave us our stuff this week?
Well, Jenny J23 gave us a couple of them. thank you, Jenny Josephson. Also, Wayne Something, another J Martin, Yogo Craig, and S Sneepier all contributed at currentgeek.reddit.com. We thank every single person who contributes, even if we don't get to the story. We love seeing them all. So get in there, submit, and vote at currentgeek.reddit.com.
I would concur. Also, I'd like to recommend that people check out the way to support this show, which is go to frogpants.cratejoy.com and pick up a Crate Joy. What's in it? Well, let me tell you. And I'm so glad Jenny's here. She helped us come up with this idea. Tom has in his hands, right there, as you can see. Here, I'm going to hold that up. It's a puzzle. It's a mouse mat-like material, so you could use it as a mouse mat.
Yeah, it's like a mouse pad.
Sure.
It's also a puzzle.
It's also a puzzle.
Is it a puzzle? Is it a mouse pad?
It's both, Tom, it turns out. It's both. I wish people could see this at home who are just listening, but that is a puzzle. Look at those pieces. It's amazing. Of our big album art logo, that was one of the items in one of the Crate Joys. There's other things like USB chargers. There have been shot glasses. There have been, oh my gosh, he has all this handy. This is insane. Tom is a walking example. He's like the guy with the coat. He opens it up and has all this stuff. Look at that. Membership cards. Every month you get a brand new membership card with original art from me on it. You get a print. And then a bunch of stuff from guests sometimes. It just depends on what's happening that month, but it's a great value, really cool things happening. And you can get your own at frogpants.cratejoy.com. That's frogpants.cratejoy.com. Check out all the details and consider supporting us that way. A big thanks to those who do. All right, it's time for the pop quiz.
America scores and wins.
All right, it's time for the pop quiz. And that means our guests, for some reason this won't work the way it's supposed to. Okay, there we go. That means our guests get to participate in a little pop quiz here. And the way that works is I ask them questions in areas of their expertise. And if they get these questions right, then they're going to hear this sound. When they get them wrong, they'll hear this. And I'm going to start with Dawn. Dawn, are you ready for your questions?
I think so.
All right, there's nothing really on the line here except Tom's going to keep score. Sometimes the scoring is a little bit weird, usually in your favor. So keep that in mind. Here is your first question in the category of female characters from Shakespeare. All right. Now, this was given to us.
All right.
This was given to us by Hammond, who said, oh, Don loves that stuff. So that's why we're doing it.
I do indeed.
All right.
Okay, good. Because sometimes Hammond says that because he wants to play a little joke on the person he's booking.
Yeah. So I'm glad that that's in this case. We like to, we're doing a little checking, a little job checking.
I am a Shakespeare nerd from way back.
Okay, good. All right, good. Perfect then. Here's your first question. How does Lady Macbeth die in the play Macbeth? How does Lady Macbeth die in the play Macbeth?
Spoiler. Not the movie. Spoiler. But the play.
Yeah, the play.
In the play.
Yeah.
Spoiler. She kills herself.
You are correct. Well done. First question down, out, and up. Next question. Who is the wife of Othello?
Desdemona.
Man, killing it already. It's also a nice font, by the way. Desdemona, the font. If anyone's interested. If anyone likes
font. I like
font.
The song in Fame about Desdemona.
Oh, is there a Desdemona song in Fame? Where they're going to live forever? People will remember their name? Anyway, here's their next question. Who are the only two female characters in Hamlet?
Gertrude and Ophelia.
She's killing it. This is Jenny.
Both of whom meet terrible, terrible ends.
Yes, indeed.
But then so does pretty much everyone in Hamlet.
Jenny, no pressure. She's killing
arguments
it.
Are made for Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. The answer still stands.
Yeah, it still stands. Gertrude and Ophelia. There
that
you
is
go.
True.
Second to last question. Who is the youngest of King Lear's three daughters?
Cordelia.
Oh, man. We're getting 100% so far. Seriously, Jenny, don't worry. It's fine. You'll be fine. Final question. Oh, go ahead. Yes.
No, go ahead.
All right.
Jenny's just over there. Wherefore?
Who is the only female character to appear on stage in The Tempest?
Oh, she's the only female character. Miranda.
Oh. I think she was going to do the right one. It's Miranda. You cut out a little bit, but Miranda's the answer. That is correct. Nicely done. Tom, she got 100%. Are you giving her anything bonus for
she
that?
She actually gets a half point bonus for the realization of Miranda being the only female player.
Oh, so yeah. There you go.
Five.
Yeah, well done.
Let me just say something right here. First of all, I would like to applaud Dawn for an incredible performance, but if there's anything about like what episode is something something on in something something, I'm gonna be pretty mad.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
What's Jenny's topic?
Jenny's topic is Jar Jar Binks trivia.
Oh God.
No. Okay, so as you know, it's something that is as culturally important. At yeah. least.
Oh, you know, I've been a real fan of this show for a long time.
The first
all
question
right.
could be
wherefore.
What episode did he first appear? Just kidding. All right, here we go. Jar Jar Binks, question number one. How did Jar Jar piss off Sebulba?
Knocking over stuff in the store.
Well, let's find out if that's the correct answer. Nope. It's he spit a frog into Sebulba's food.
In the extended universe, people know that Sebulba was already annoyed at Jar Jar for knocking things over in Watto's store, so full point.
Yeah. All right. Feel good about that. Next one.
That's right.
After the Battle of Endor, what was Jar Jar's job on Naboo? That doesn't sound right, does it? Because Endor was later. Way later. Wait.
I feel like this question is not clear.
Well, okay, so I'll read it one more time, and then we can make a judgment. The Battle of Endor was Jar Jar's, after the Battle of Endor, what was Jar Jar's job on Naboo?
Well, all right, so most recently, we just learned something based on a spoiler in a Star Wars book that has, yet to come out. So I feel like give the answer that will technically be correct.
But you're worried about it spoiling?
As the most recent thing that Jar Jar was doing after the Battle of Endor, I will legal this to hell. But it will also be a spoiler. Tom, what's your Star Wars ruling on this?
What do you say, Tom?
Tom knows what I'm going to say.
I can't rule until you've made an answer. I mean, I can only go by the rules of the quiz.
All right. So. Well, currently, after the Battle of Endor, he's a clown on Naboo.
Oh, that's a dumb spoiler. It's fine. That's totally fine. I'm going to say yes. He's a performer clown on the street.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know why Mike put a spoiler in here, but it's not a big one. Like anyone was sitting around going, oh, don't tell me, don't tell me. He's a clown. I can't believe he told me. Who cares? It's just Jar Jar. No one cares. All right. Next question. Who played Jar Jar in the movies?
Ahmed Best.
You are correct. Well done. You pulled that right out. Jeez. I'm impressed. I wouldn't have been able to do that. I would have said
co-host a podcast called Let's Talk About Star Wars.
I would have said Harry Connick Jr. or something dumb like that.
Well, then he would have been never mind. Yeah. It is not Ahmed Best's fault.
All right. No, it's not.
Nothing is. And that's why I know it is because I consistently say it's not Ahmed Best's fault what happened to Jar Jar Binks.
That's a great quote. I'm going to put it on Twitter. It's not Ahmed Best's fault. Jenny Josephson, 2017. Yep. Next, last question. What did Jar Jar do that essentially formed the Empire?
Oh, yeah, he voted. He made the motion to give Palpatine Imperial power.
You are correct, and I still can't believe they did that. It's the dumbest thing I ever saw in a movie ever, maybe. But you are correct. Final question. Well, you're doing all right now. What was Jar Jar, what was Jar Jar banished from Ota Gunga? Or why? He put what, but he means why. Why was Jar Jar banished from Ota Gunga?
Ota Gunga is a underwater city.
Misa, super unclear about what actually happened with a Jar Jar and a big new gun ray. But I think it has, Misa think it has something to do with a lady.
I don't know how to, I'll tell you the answer. It says... he crashed Boz Nass's submarine and got banished for it. So I'll give
you she gets an accurate Gungan dialect bonus.
Yeah,
so.
A loud one too. Well done. I'm impressed
it's
with
your... It's just as annoying as it was in the movie.
Well, I was just going to say, that's the job when you're doing Jar Jar stuff. Well done. You both did very well. Tom, how'd they do in the end?
Whoa, this was a close one. Jenny did finish with 5 points total, but Don had 5.5, so just edging to the victory.
Well done. Edged it out.
Well done.
Congratulations, everybody. Well done. I love that game. So much fun to play that. But I also like Forecast.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
So Tom and I, we used to have a show called Forecast. We predicted the future. It was all about, technology, entertainment, humanity, whatever. And we turned it into a segment because we didn't want to see it completely die and go away. And we predict the future here on the show. Jenny's doing it this week. She's got an idea and it's very timely, I believe. So Jenny, it's funny because I read this and I was also thinking about spoilers. I don't think this spoils anything, does it? Or does me bringing that up spoil something? It may, by me even saying the words.
I don't think
not
so.
Not saying whether something is a spoiler will prevent it. Spoiler.
Yeah, good point. Well, tell us
your
prediction.
There are traps that Tom, you fall into, and I've learned not to fall into this one. I think it is not a spoiler because it has been all over public media that this is the last time that Hugh Jackman, the actor, is taking on the role of Wolverine, the character.
Mm. He has said as much publicly.
Yeah, publicly. So I don't think you have to go into anything in the movie for this.
Yeah.
So do you want me to read the prediction?
I do, but before you do, can I just say a quick, there's a quick thought about Logan that hit me after the movie ended the other night. And I absolutely loved it. It jumped to my top.
I was stalking you on Twitter to get you to talk about it. I was so excited.
I know you were so. It was weird. I almost had to report you. It was so crazy. But anyway, just kidding. I didn't do that. So I came out of there going, do we have another example of really bad first movie? Origins was terrible. Pretty okay second movie, The Wolverine, a few years ago. And then this third one knocking it out of the park in such a way to just overshadow everything that came before it. I don't know of any other example of that in a franchise like that I can think of.
Well, it ain't The Matrix.
No, it's usually the opposite. It's usually first one best, then you get a little average after that or worse. Sometimes middle bit's good, like Empire Strikes Back's probably the strongest of the first three.
X2.
X2's a good example, yeah. But it's usually never terrible, middling, amazing in that order. And
depends on what you think of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's true. I like.
But that's a variably subjective opinion. Not really. Like, you could say that Return of the King is the best one because blah blah blah. But you could also say that the first one is untouchable.
I love the first one.
So I don't know.
I like the first and the second. Mad Max. Oh, yeah. But Road Warrior's awesome. But see, it's different though. Okay. Don, help me here. If we go Mad Max, then we go Road Warrior, then we go. What's the one with Tina Turner?
What's love got to do?
Beyond Thunderdome. Thank you very much. Beyond Thunderdome. Mm-hmm. So if you go technically if you put them all together, the fourth one is the best one. This new one is the best movie of the last 10 years. Nobody can argue with me on that because it is. So
it's freaking amazing.
It's amazing, yeah. Right? Oh, if you do like stunt stuff, I'll bet in stunt circles, that movie is just like high recent watermark, right?
Oh, good Lord. It's insane. Insane. Yeah.
Oh, I love it so much.
Ken from Chicago has the answer, by the way.
Okay, he does? But
I want to hear more about the stunt business.
All right. Say, what were you going to say, Don? Go ahead.
But there was so much acrobatic stuff in there that it was very, it utilized a lot of acrobatic stuff because of all the flying that was going on. So,
yeah, every time somebody, when they were on those big sticks, I forgot what they called them, dippers, I think. Anyway, I watched that and went, Who are these insane human beings that are on those sticks doing what they're doing in very practical ways? These weren't a bunch of CGI sticks. These were like people. The dude alone with the guitar and the flaming guitar and the speaker thing.
Flaming guitar and the bungee cord.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Yeah. He's insane. Like everything about,
Scott talking about Mad Max, you're in a lot of trouble.
It's my favorite, easily one of my favorite movies of all time, and absolutely my favorite movie the last 10 years. And it's hard for me to not talk about it, but I won't in this case. What we were talking about. Oh, yeah. So there's an example of the latest outing being the best. So, okay, we have the one other example. Anyway, so Jenny, your prediction, what do you think?
Okay. So I just want to say that Ken from Chicago gave us Toy Story 2 as good, better, best. And I would support that.
Yeah, but it's not such a... But the difference here is Wolverine had a terrible first outing, an okay one, and then a great one. Toy Story was great, greater, greatest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fair. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The actual forecast. Hugh Jackman will return to the Wolverine character in some way, in some movie, in less than 5 years. Addendum. If it's Infinity War, though, I get $1 million.
Whoa, how'd you work that deal out? That's pretty good.
I don't know. I just said it.
You and Kevin Feige?
Sometimes if you just say it, it'll happen.
Okay.
Just got to put it out there in the universe.
Right. Or alternate universe.
Let it soak. All right. I'm going to agree with you that that's probably going to happen. There'll be some cameo, something small. I mean, the kind of thing he did in First Class, where he just showed up at that bar for a minute. That's kind of what I would see happening, maybe. Yeah. Long enough to throw the bird or whatever. Isn't that what he did? He flipped him off. Wasn't that the deal?
Yeah. I mean, throwing a bird is a mean thing to do, but you could flip
one. You're getting all, the PETA is very upset.
Wolverine eating a bird, then throwing it somewhere.
You throw horns, you flip the bird.
So what context do you want to see it in if this is your prediction? Where do you want him to show up?
I only want him to show up in Infinity War or some future Marvel Studios crossover, because his... Nope, I'm not even going to say it. I'm just going to say,
yeah,
that's what I want. That is my only... He could be like... It could be 90-year-old Hugh Jackman during Infinity War 7. Mm. I don't care. Mm. But I think that is a crossover to another part of the Marvelverse is the only acceptable thing for me.
Well, I remember not too many years ago, Patrick Stewart had said that not this last X-Men movie, the one before it, was going to be his last appearance as Professor X. And that turned out not to be true. So yeah. It's entirely possible. I hope you're right. Don, do you want to just keep seeing Hugh Jackman don the claws, or would you prefer him just work on nothing but romantic comedies for the rest of his life?
Oh no, the claws. Absolutely.
Yeah. He belongs in them, right? He needs
them. Both. Or both.
Sure. A romantic.
What about a Wolverine musical?
Okay. You got me now. I'm in.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go.
He was really good. He was good in that Les Mis deal. Les Miserables, I like to call it. It was really good
Les
in that.
Les Miserables.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I like that prediction. It's a good one, and I think it's probably accurate. Tom, any thoughts on that?
Well, I think this is brilliant. I think Jenny should be hired to do this, to make this happen, because yes, Wolverine, Hugh Jackman out there telling everybody that I'm hanging up the claws, this is it, and then showing up in Infinity War would be huge, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone would love that. Hugh Jackman wouldn't have to actually take the job of being Wolverine. It'd be fun for him because it'd be a cameo. The only problem is 20th Century Fox is not yet agreeing to this crossover stuff. So that needs to be done. But that's not impossible. I've obviously done it with Sony. Mm-hmm. So they can get it done with 20th Century Fox. My only question, the only thought I did have is, if they didn't get 20th Century Fox to agree to allow Wolverine to appear in Infinity War, could they have Hugh Jackman appear in Infinity War? Just, you know, sort of not being, you know.
With a beard, but no other attributes. I mean,
just, yeah, identifiable as Hugh Jackman and, you know, maybe some sideburns or something.
Sure,
I don't
a little
know.
Sideburns. Hair could maybe go out a little bit, like in a couple little peaks off to the side. And just, you know, he could have little slits between his fingers. But no, he doesn't have claws. Ooh. It's fine. It's fine.
What if there is ever a day when Stan Lee goes to the great comic book in the sky, Hugh Jackman becomes the cameo guy?
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Who does take that over? You're right.
Yeah. There's nobody left.
I mean,
is it Kevin Feige?
No, because it's Hugh Jackman. Like, he's the cameo guy.
Okay. All right. It may end up being Deadpool, but sure.
Why not? That's true. Yeah. I would give it to Deadpool, too. Or both of them. Like, in every... That's what it should be. It should be Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman just banging at each other somehow, some way in every movie.
Yeah. Well, they're already doing that. Their little fake feud offline is one of the best things ever. Mm-hmm. I'm into your future. Hugh Jackman is, by all accounts, one of the nicest guys ever as well, which I always love that. But also, I am really going to miss his treatment of Wolverine. Like, he was.
I think it should be Ryan Gosling.
Oh, my.
And someone walks up and goes, Deadpool? No. And that's it.
Every movie?
Every movie.
City of Claws.
Oh, man.
Are you slashing just for me?
I didn't know we were going to get a performance.
To dream.
This is really good. That's our forecast. Thanks, everybody, for enduring it. It was good, though. I don't want to make it sound like it was something you have to endure. I loved it. It was great. We get feedback here on the show, and we like to read emails that we receive on the show. We get them at currentgeek@gmail.com. We got one from somebody named Kyle. I know a Kyle, but I don't think this is him. Doesn't sound like the Kyle I know, but anyway,
to play baseball in my backyard with Kyle Beatty.
Aw, you and Kyle Beatty. That sounds cute. Did you,
brother Chad?
Did you guys go get a soda pop and a play down to the arcade or something?
No, yeah. But we'd sneak in and watch Beatles documentaries while their parents were gone.
Oh, that's you were some sneaky.
Oh, so sneaky.
Deliberate. What's the word? I can't think. Rebellious children is what I meant to say. Yeah, yeah. Hi, Current Geek. Kyle here, and I have a question for you guys. We have a lot of comic book movies now. What character do you want to see get movie treatment? Kyle. All right. So I'm proud of Marvel for saying Guardians can work and Ant-Man can work and Thor can work. Those are hard things to do, and they've made them completely work. And so there's a lot of options outside of the canon of, you know, the big names that you're used to hearing about, the Superman, the Batman, the Captain America's of the world. We can go a little further than that. So Jenny, we'll just go around the table here. Jenny, do you have a character you would like to see immortalized in film?
Yeah, I think it would be. And I feel like this was going to happen at some point and it hasn't yet. But I would really like to see why The Last Man become a series it has to be a series. I don't think it could be a movie.
Well, it was a movie for a hot minute in Trachtenberg. Dan Trachtenberg was tied to it. And then that fell apart. And then he went on to do the Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane, which is awesome, too. So but there was never any story about what happened there. And he hasn't ever said anything. So maybe that thing did get shelved for a better treatment on TV. But I agree. That's a good one. And TV or movie. Yeah, there's no, I don't think we have any restrictions on this little question we have. We can say where we want, what heroes from where. Don, do you have somebody out there? You'd be like, oh, please put that person in a comic or in a movie.
Well, this is like you're just handing this to me because we're working on that project right now. There are all these fabulous comic book heroines from the 1940s that have fallen into the public domain now. So they are actually available if people want to make movies about them.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I was turned onto it by there's a gentleman named Mike Madrid who works in the comic book space, and he put together a book called Divas, Dames, and Daredevils. And it's a study of about, I think about 30 of them that are now in the public domain and are available to, you know, to be reimagined, to have new adventures, whatever you want to do. So we're working on three of them right now. We're working on The Woman in Red, The Veiled Avenger, and Ghost Woman.
Oh, wow.
And,
I've heard of Veiled Avenger, but not the other two. When you approached these, I mean, we may as well talk shop about it now. When you approach these projects, how are you able to? I mean, when they're in the public domain like that, what is the process? Do you just literally say, "Hey, we're going to make a story about this character," and off you go, or is there still some sort of? I don't know. I guess I'm just used to people having copyright on everything forever, and when they're not like that, I guess you can just do what you want.
Yeah, you kind of can. I mean, we offered our writers the opportunity to either do a direct adaptation of one of the comic books as they existed or to write the continuing adventures of, and we did sort of a mix of those two things. So one of the adaptations is
quite
faithful.
How can I get involved in this project?
Yeah, it's really cool.
I just blacked out. Like I had a full blackout of like sheer, like, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Where
do you find it? Is there a list? Is there a list of all these people? Like, how did you even find them?
We started with Mike Madrid's book.
Oh, with the book,
started there, and then just poked around on the interwebs and found out a whole bunch of other ones that are available for further adventures, and you know, sort of settled on three of them. But holy cow, there's a ton more out there. So I really encourage people, you know, who are sort of, I don't know, there are, you know, we've been waiting for so long for a Wonder Woman movie that, you know, it seems like such a waste that there are all these fabulous female characters that are just waiting to be utilized.
Yeah, it is going to be nice to finally get that.
I literally feel dizzy as if my destiny had just presented itself to me.
You're pretty excited about this.
Are you kidding?
You really are. I've never seen you. I mean, I want to check that book out. I didn't even know it existed. So, this has all been great revelation for me. And I know Tom and I both have a real fondness for old time radio. That adventure series stuff is so much fun. And I'm sure some of these characters probably featured in some of that early stuff.
I mean, the 40s slang is in these old comic books. So. I mean, the dialogue is just fantastic.
Yeah, I love it. I'm all in on all this. This all sounds really good. Well, here in a minute, we'll get some additional info from you on the project, specifically where people can learn more about it and so on. But very exciting. Cool. So there you go, Kyle. Any other thoughts, Tom? Did you want to throw in on a character that you want to see made?
No. At this point now, I just want to watch everything that Don's working on and see that come to life. Absolutely.
I kind of do too. Yeah.
And now I can only think of things like Scrooge McDuck at this point. It's just not even comparable.
I'll throw one out that I always think of that I just feel like would get great comic treatment, and that would be Lobo in the DC universe. It's DC's Deadpool, sort of. But was around for a very long time, long before Deadpool. But he's such an anti-hero and such an interesting dark, twisted, funny sort of comic that I think Lobo would be an excellent thing to see.
You know, I actually take it back. Now that you mentioned Antihero, it reminded me of Irredeemable.
Oh, yeah.
That would be an amazing series.
Yeah, series. Well said, because I don't think a movie would do it justice. It needs, it needs episodic television, like a lot of these things do, I think. But we're in a place where you can do it. Freaking Preacher's on the air. You can see a Preacher TV show. I'd just like to go
and
back.
And Legion.
Yeah, and Legion. Oh, my gosh. Go back in time and tell myself that. I'd think you were lying and kick you out of my house. But there
you
they
would
are.
Say, what's that? Yeah. Those comics haven't been written yet.
Yeah, well, yeah. It depends on how far back you go. But even five years ago, I would have said they'd
very
never.
Think about time travel.
If you'd have said 5 years ago they're going to make a Preacher show, I'd say, uh-uh, not a chance. That'll never make it on the air. And boom.
You never know.
Boom, there it is. Kyle, thanks for your feedback. And if you'd like to send us more, anyone listening, currentgeek@gmail.com is where to do it. Big, big thanks to our guests for being here. I want to go to both of you and talk about the projects you're working on. So, Don, tell us a little bit more about the project, where people can find it, web addresses, Twitter stuff, any of that stuff you'd like to mention. I'd really like people to get exposed to it.
You bet. So the production company that's sort of it's under is called Vicarious Films. So we're on Facebook as Vicarious Films. We're on Twitter at Vicarious_Films. And then we're on Instagram at HerPowMovies, H-E-R-P-O-W Movies.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm looking at the site right now.
This looks... We're crowdfunding right now for the project. So if you go to the crowdfunding page on Seed and Spark, and there are links at those other two places, that's where sort of all of the information about the project is being stored right now. So that's where you can find out the most.
Nice. I'm looking at the Veiled Avenger currently.
Isn't she great?
She's whipping her. She's got a whip around some. It looks like a mobster's gun and is about to yank it out of his hands in this page. This is amazing. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
I'm going to have to look into that more, as it sounds like Jenny will. Jenny, remind us where you can be found, what you're up to, and where people can go to find more.
I'll be on Facebook looking for Vicarious Films. no, I will. I'm working a marketplace, producing a podcast with Kai Rizdal of Mollywood called Make Me Smart. And it really does, as best it can, adhere to the principles that I learned while working with Mr. Tom Merritt about making the audience part of and the driving force of your show. And I got my graduate degree in that on the Daily Tech News Show. And so, you know, pretty much a great deal of what we do comes from that experience and from watching Scott and watching Justin and Brian and just like, you know, a little bit of that spirit we're trying to bring to this show. So check it out at marketplace.org/makemesmart. Plus it's got Molly Wood. Did I have to say anymore?
No, you have me at Molly Wood, but also I've heard it, and I heard it before I knew you were producing. And I already loved it. It's awesome. It's great. And sometimes when I know a project's got somebody in it who I know or is a friend or something, sometimes I don't listen very quickly, or I'll get behind or whatever, because they're my friends. I talk to them all the time anyway or whatever. This thing is not that. This is like I don't know. It's pretty special. People should listen to it. It's super smart, really well done. And it's got that Molly juice in it that makes Molly so great. Kai's always great, and it's really, really good. So congratulations on that thing. It's pretty awesome.
All credit to my hosts.
There you go. That's it. Tom, anything you'd like to mention, Mr. Pilot X all over the planet?
Oh, yeah, sure. So my novel Pilot X comes out March 14th. It's about a time traveler who faces a decision between saving the universe and his own people, and it's on shelves already. So even though its official release date is until next week, you can find it. In fact, I went into the Barnes & Noble in Marina Del Rey yesterday, and I bought one because it's the first time I ever saw it on an actual shelf in a bookstore, and I wanted to have it as a souvenir. The person noticed that my credit card name was the same name on the book and asked me to sign the one copy that was left. So if it hasn't sold already, check out the Barnes & Noble in Marina Del Rey. You can get a signed copy of it on the shelf there. They even said that they would order a few more copies in for me to come by and sign. So.
That's amazing.
Nice. Yeah.
So cool, dude. I love it. And if you're in that Barnes & Noble, Make it a game. Go see if you can find it. See who the first one is to get it. I think that's
yeah, really cool. And if you do, let me know. Tell us on Twitter.
Huge grats on that. Man, what else? For me, I started a new YouTube series of me. Inexplicably, I have decided to play through the entirety of Resident Evil 7, which is scary as hell. And everything you've heard about it is true. I'm not doing it in VR because I refuse to. I'm not good with scary games in the first place. But apparently people think it's real funny when I squeal like a little weenie boy. So there is the first part of it, which is about an hour and a half long, part 2 and 3 coming soon, where I play my good buddy John Jagger's along for commentary. And it is that game is horrifying, like literally one of the scariest things I've ever played ever. And I did it in the middle of the day with all the lights on, and it still didn't matter. I was terrified. So if you'd like to laugh at me and wish that I would be a chicken with everything I do, go check it out. That's at youtube.com/ScottJohnson, and for everything else, frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, guys. Thank you all for being here. Big thanks again to our guests. Big thanks to Andrew Allen for our theme music. And thanks to, gosh, who else? Everybody who helps us out. You guys are all great. All you listeners, everybody. Email us, currentgeek@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit currentgeek.com for everything else. For me, for Tom, and for our guests. We'll see you next time.
Hi, and welcome back to Legal Geek. This week, we leave politics and go back to the field of gaming to do a news update on two interesting cases for top brands in this field. We begin with Nintendo, which has returned to form with Breath of the Wild and the Switch console, receiving good reviews this week. But Nintendo has also returned to the courts, with a lawsuit filed against a company in Tokyo, which offers real-life Mario Kart rides, with Mario onesies, LED shoes, and mustaches. Yes, you heard that right. Real-life Mario Kart rides. Excuse me while I go purchase my tickets to Japan. Returning to the law, Marikar is accused of using Nintendo's IP and characters without permission. The closeness of the name and the use of the characters could indeed raise some trademark or copyright issues. While Marikar says that they had legal advice, that they were clear, it looks a bit like too much content copying without the small adjustments knockoffs usually make to be clear. Plus, Marikar sounds like it has no interest in going to court with the game giant. That means this fun folly will either disappear, change, or acquire a license. I would guess disappear. However, with Nintendo finally licensing some theme park areas in Osaka, Hollywood, and Orlando this year, perhaps you will still be able to live a Mario Kart fantasy without having to brave the streets of Tokyo. The other game giant with news in court is Riot Games, makers of top MOBA League of Legends. A court ruling granted Riot with an injunction and $10 million in damages against the makers of a software product called League Sharp. League Sharp was alleged to violate the DMCA because it circumvents the anti-cheating technology in the League of Legends game software. Even though League is free to play, League Sharp was a paid monthly service that allowed players to see hidden information and play automated bot versions of the game to build up swords and supplies to unlock game content faster than normal. That circumvention and botting harmed the game, according to Riot, and League Sharp also hacked and released some confidential employee information from Riot. This is precisely the type of company and bad actors that video game companies like Riot and Blizzard often try to stop. By obtaining a huge judgment and injunction only 7 months after this lawsuit was filed in August, Riot has quickly protected the League of Legends game and its player base, and the courts have sent a strong message to other companies that want to try to profit off of or attack other big game titles. The bottom line is, profitable game giants will almost always act to protect their property and their players, and it usually works. We'll see if Nintendo and Riot Games can continue their hot streak in the court of public opinion as these games continue to develop and grow. Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.